Welcome to the Providence College Podcast. My name is Joe Carr. We are pleased to present a recording of a recent campus visit by sports agent and attorney Kim Mayalley. A Johnston native who graduated from PC in 2001 with an English degree, she's an NFL agent and general counsel at Rock Nation Sports with high-profile clients including the New York Giants, Saquon Barkley. Patty Goff from PC's Division of Student Affairs hosted this conversation before an audience of mostly students on November 7th.
So, Kim, we'll start with an easy one.
Okay.
Tell us about you and your life. Really, I know you're local, but where you're from, how did you get to PC?
So, first of all, thank you guys so much for inviting me. It's been incredible to come back to campus. As it was mentioned, I haven't been back in quite some time, so it's been amazing to see all the changes that have been made. The campus is beautiful, so you guys are really lucky to be here. I get to Providence College by virtue of the fact I'm from Rhode Island. I'm from Johnston, which is a suburb of Providence, not too far away from here. Grew up just kind of being a sports fan. And actually in 1997, when I decided to come here, yes, I'm aging myself now, Providence was in the Elite Eight, and overtime loss, it was heartbreaking, but that's what really got me hyped up about Providence and why I decided to come here.
Was education something that was important in your family growing up? Back then, did you think, you know, I'm going all the way, law school and that sort of thing, or did it just unfold?
Education was always important in my family. My parents are here and always instilled in me the importance of education and hard work. So from a really early age, including I think even kindergarten, I knew I was going to be an attorney. So that was always the plan, and that's why I went to law school right after graduating at Providence.
And I understand your dad made a deal with you so you could live on campus even though you're from Rhode Island?
That's right. I had to make the dean's list every semester to stay on campus, and I did. I upheld my end of the bargain.
So now let's move forward. You share an experience with almost everyone in this room. You're a Friar. You're a Providence College student. You went through DWC. You were talking about some of the places you visited as a Providence College student that you may or may not want to talk about. Can you tell us about your time at PC, what you were involved in, what was your major? What was it like for you here?
I had an amazing experience at the school. It's such a great family atmosphere and so steeped in tradition. I really enjoyed my time here. I was a double major in political science and English, and I studied abroad for a semester in London. That's where I get a lot of my English credits in. Had a great time here.
Was picking your major something that you came in knowing? Were you one of those students, or were you one that kind of looked around and explored?
No, I came in declared as a political science major. I was a bit of a political junkie growing up, so that's why I chose that major from day one. And then when I studied in London, taking so many English classes, I realized I was very close to having the double major, so I just finished it.
Was law school something you thought about here? Was it something that you always planned?
Always planned.
Really?
And so I did think that English and political science were two great majors to help me in law school, and that did end up being the case. Just reading and writing is key in law school, so those majors definitely helped.
Were you involved in anything outside of academics while you were here at Providence College?
Good question. I was a Civ tutor, so that's on the academic side. I can't remember being part of any club or anything, unfortunately. I wish we had a sports type of club while I was here, and I'm happy to hear that you guys are doing that now. I was just a huge fan of the basketball team and hockey team, so.
That's important. Yeah. Were you a season ticket holder?
No, but I somehow managed to go to the games.
Good, so, yeah. Good. So bring us from graduation, going on to law school. You know, what was law school like? It's a big jump from Providence College to law school, a very different experience, I would imagine. How'd you decide what kind of law and that sort of thing?
Yeah, law school, ironically enough, is more like high school. You're in a class with the same students all day. You have lockers. You get through it. It's 3 years. And I ended up focusing on sports law, copyright. I knew I wanted to get into sports or entertainment law, so I gravitated towards those classes. And it was actually in taking the sports law class that led me to my career, ultimately. When I took the class, the professor was a woman named Kristen Kaliga, who happened to be an NFL agent and a woman. She's actually the first woman to negotiate a starting quarterback's contract. And I've just actually gone back and looked into it, and I'm the second woman to negotiate a starting quarterback's contract. But she had an internship position available. I applied for it, got the internship, and that was sort of where this all came to fruition for me. That's when I decided that's what I wanted to pursue.
Did you have any mentors either in school or outside of school, undergrad or even to law school or working?
I mean, so she has been an incredible mentor in my life. Just watching her do it, knowing it was possible, was huge. My parents, who were here, again, just always instilling in me the importance of hard work and being just a genuine person with high values. So they were huge mentors in my life as well.
So you graduate from law school. Now what?
Lots of student loans. So I needed to go and practice law in the traditional sense so that I could pay off my loans. Unfortunately, Kristen just didn't have the bandwidth to hire me as part of her agency. So I worked as a litigator for 8 years in Boston.
Can you say more about that? I read that that wasn't your favorite job.
It wasn't.
But it's about, I think, sometimes being here at PC and making that jump, sometimes you want that first job to be everything. And the truth is you have to kind of pay your dues and make it happen. Can you talk a little more about that?
Sure. It's unrealistic. I think we all want to just, you know, day one, get your dream job. And it's really not usually how it works. And so you just have to stay the course and know that if you take all the little steps along the way, you will get there. And you have to be patient. So, you know, as a litigator, no, I didn't love it, but I'm realizing now that a lot of the skills that I honed as a litigator, I'm applying now as an agent. So just being an advocate for a client, building a case, which is basically what I do when I'm negotiating a contract and negotiating against a team on behalf of a player. I'm basically building a case for them on why they should be paid X amount of dollars. So a lot of transferable skills, and I really don't regret my time as a litigator.
So you've done litigation. You knew from law school that you liked what the woman had done who was the agent. How did you get there? How did that happen?
A little bit of luck and a lot of hard work, I guess. So working as a litigator again, while I found it to be interesting to a degree, I wasn't really passionate about it. And so there was sort of a moment in my life that I realized that I wanted to pursue the dream. And I've talked about it before, but I had an uncle I was really, really close with who passed away. And he was a really unconventional person, didn't really ever conform to like a 9-to-5 job, and always encouraged me to take the path less taken, to go and pursue a dream. And so when he passed away and I was the executor of his estate, that's when the light bulb moment went off that I thought, I'm going to go take the test, get licensed, and pursue that dream. And I had to do it simultaneously with practicing law. So it was basically a side job for me for a very long time. But I just stayed focused and kept with it.
So now you're an agent. That's just the beginning, right? Now you have to land clients. How does one do that? How do you get involved with the right people?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough doing it on your own, which is how I started. I basically made a business card with my apartment address in Boston. Got local players who were not going to make a team, but I actually really cut my teeth on those players because I had to make contacts with scouts at every level at teams. So surprisingly, you have to work harder for a player at that level than someone like a Saquon who's going to go and just write his own ticket. So I learned a lot with those kinds of players and kind of just built off of that. I did the work on my own for a few years, and then was fortunate enough to get affiliated with an agency in Manhattan before Roc Nation. And that's when kind of expanded the client base, got into bigger programs like Notre Dame and Florida. So got to experience working with more high-profile athletes. But again, we weren't getting to the point where the firm was making any money.
So between litigation and then moving up as an agent with NFL players, you're in a male-dominated profession. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like, maybe some challenges you encountered, lessons learned, anything our students can learn from?
I would say, though, coming from the legal background in Boston, where most of the time opposing counsel and judges happened to be men, it wasn't a huge transition for me to go into the sports world. That being said, when I got hired at Roc Nation, there was a bit of a frenzy about it because I think Jay-Z getting into the sports space, people were intimidated by it. And I was really put under the microscope. And there was this reporter from the Boston Globe, did an entire article on me, and he said that the most newsworthy thing I'd done to date was marry my law school sweetheart. And that was the first time that I really felt like, being a woman, that I wasn't getting the respect that I deserved, and had it been a man that was hired for the job, he would have never written anything like that. But, you know, I haven't had any real troubling experiences.
Do you ever feel like your sports knowledge is questioned or
yes.
assumed to be less?
Yes, but I always love to say, if you look at the other agents, the male agents, they don't look like they've played a sport either, okay? So don't let them fool you. I mean, and by the way, most of the players don't really want to talk to you necessarily about their strategy on the field. They want to know that you have a strategy for their contract. They talk to their coaches, their trainers, their teammates about those kinds of things. But anyway, again, most of the male agents are attorneys too, who really weren't high-profile athletes, so.
Be able to get away. So hearing, you know, as you've come from, you know, Providence College onto law school, NFL agent, I think what we're hearing is it takes passion. Like, that's, you're making it sound easy, and it's not. Can you talk about where the passion came from, how it kept you going? If you think it's important, I'm assuming it is, but if you think it is that what fuels you?
Yeah, no, you have to have a passion for it, because there's so many pitfalls along the way. There are so many times when I thought I shouldn't continue down this road, especially it's very, very costly to be an agent on your own. Just to get licensed through the Players Association, it's a huge fee to take the test, and then a huge annual fee. You need to have insurance, like errors and omissions insurance. You need to get licensed in individual states where you want to rep players coming out of college. So it's a huge investment from a time standpoint, a monetary standpoint. So you have to be committed, and you have to be passionate to make it through all of that, to wait until you can come out on the other side and be successful.
I assume it doesn't stop just because you get Saquon, right? That's great, and that's a big get, and everyone's talking about it. But now, what's next? What keeps you going? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I have to keep going and you know, identifying new talent in every draft class and trying to be in front of the curve to get the next best player. And then looking for veterans, too, who have deals coming up. You want to try and sign those kind of players as well. So it never ends. It's a very competitive business, and you need to just stay on top of it all the time.
You talked a little about litigation leading to your negotiation skills with contracts. Are there any other skills you gained at Providence College, at law school, that now you look back and say, oh, yeah, I brought that with
absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Even though at the time it was seemed painstaking to go through, but like just reading all the time and writing, speaking in front of class, all of those skills are so transferable into doing this job.
I would imagine with law school, especially, those presentations came in handy.
Yes.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you've faced in your career so far?
I would say just those times when I thought about quitting, because it was such a huge investment of time and money. And my husband at the time, even though he supported me so much, there were moments when he'd say, what are you doing? You're spending so much time. Because my vacation time at the law firm, I would be at the combine or I'd be at pro days. So, and the law firm didn't love that I was doing this. So it was a bit of a balancing act. So it was tough for a while to stay with it and not give up. And I just was so fortunate to get this huge opportunity with Roc Nation. Had that not happened, and at that time, I probably still would not be an agent.
But actually, you talk about something we talk about with students all the time. It's a little bit of luck, but you were prepared for the lucky moment.
Yes, it's about when you're in the right place at the right time, then performing and being ready to go. So it's opportunity meeting preparation for sure.
So on that vein, what advice would you give to students who are currently at Providence College so that they are prepared for their lucky break or whatever happens to be?
I mean, networking and getting internships, you just don't know who you meet that down the road will be in a different position even to help you, and they can remember you. Because a lot of this business is based on relationships. And if you just, you know, post a job for an agent at a big agency, it would be just crazy to try and get through those applications. So they usually don't do that. It's based on who you have a relationship with or who can refer you. So that's why it's so important to just really network and get as much experience as you can, even being in school.
What would you, I don't want to say do differently, but maybe looking back, wish you knew, you know, what you know now, wish you knew then?
I wish I had focused more so on sports from an earlier point in time, because it took so long for me to get to where I am, and I don't regret anything. But at the same time, if I had advice, I would say to just, if you know that that's what you want to do, start to do all of those steps to get to where you want to be from as early on as possible.
So we are going to open it up to questions. I'm hoping we have quite a few of them because we've got a great crowd. So Stacia, if you want to take my microphone, but again, take advantage of Kim's time. She's got a very busy schedule. She's giving us this hour. Let's make the most of it.
Hi, thank you so much for coming. My question is, what is the biggest piece of advice that you can give to a woman who wants to make it in the sports agent industry?
Sure, I would say not to focus on the way things are, but think about how they should be and how they could be. Because if you get caught up in just worrying about statistics and the numbers and the percentage of women out there, you'll waste time and energy. So just focus on being the very best at whatever you want to do in sports, and everything else will fall into place.
Hi, thanks again for coming as well. My question is about the NCAA and how they recently just approved how players can make money off their name, image, and likeness, and how you think that might impact your industry.
I mean, it's a game changer for the athletes and for agents. You know, if we can get in early with players and repping them for off the field and using their likeness, it's definitely going to be a game changer, and it's long overdue. So it's an exciting time, and I really hope that it happens sooner rather than later.
Thanks again for coming. My question is about, what do you think about the current era of player empowerment in sports and players demanding trade from an agent's perspective, and how that'll keep going in the future?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. I mean, there's been a paradigm shift where players are realizing, especially NFL, their real value and the leverage that they have and how to use it. So, you know, I'd like to see more and more of it. I definitely encourage my clients to get involved in the negotiation process. They need to hear, be part of the strategy, and utilize any leverage that they possibly can to help control their own destiny to the extent that they can.
My question's about, like, you represent Saquon Barkley, goes number two in the draft. What's it like to try to pitch, I guess, you trying to be his agent? I'm sure there's a number of other agents out there. What are some things, I guess, maybe you use to be unique and trying to lure, not lure, but get players like that?
Yeah, I mean, well, being at Roc Nation, we have a really unique business model. So we have tremendous resources. We're a huge company with global reach, but at the same time, the business model that they have implemented and that we have to adhere to is small group of elite athletes. So no one's really doing that. The other agencies that compete with us from a resource standpoint represent hundreds of players. We have 18 in our football department. So that's really appealing to players who want that personalized attention, a really bespoke sort of strategy for themselves. And that's what Saquon, I think, found so appealing. And then also, we had had such success with running backs before him. We repped Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette that I think he felt comfortable knowing that we would do a great job for him.
So I know you're a big proponent of diversity, especially working in the sports world, so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, especially being a woman, the population in the U.S., a little over 50% is female, so it just makes sense that people working in sports should reflect that. So in broadcasting, on the agent side, in the front office side, and it just makes everything more interesting and better. I think women have a unique point of view and real world experiences that we can bring to sports to increase the fan base.
So I've got kind of like a two-part question. So one, it seems like Todd and Zeke kind of set the running back market at 15, 16 million a year. Do you think Saquon will be able to surpass that?
In a word, yes.
Okay. And then two, as an agent, are you trying to stay away from a holdout, or is that something that if you need to do, you would be okay with?
I mean, I would be okay with that. I think it's essential the players stick together. It's harder for the guys lower on the rungs to stand because they just don't have the savings that the guys that we rep have, but it's essential that they all band together to get the very best deal, because right now there's a lot in that CBA that needs to be changed. And so I'm all for the players collectively coming together to get a better deal.
Ooh, thank you for coming. I was just wondering, as an agent, how you typically handle, or if you like have a procedure for like lockouts, holdouts, or also like when a player wants to like request a trade, like whether they like kind of shy away from a team or actions like that?
With the impending lockout, which may or may not happen, the Players Association has really given us sort of info that they want us to relay to the players, and it's called the ABC, which is adjust, budget, and cut. And really advising guys not to make any huge financial commitments right now. Now's not the time to go invest in some speculative business. Never's really the time to do that, but especially right now, or purchase a huge home. Things like that, so that players have a war chest, because the owners certainly do. They're always going to be able to outlast the players. So it's so important that they really do budget for those kinds of things. Most of my clients, I try and tell them to live on their endorsement income and save all of their player income. If they do that, then they'll be fine. So hopefully, a deal is done, but if not, the guys are ready. And your second question, I'm sorry, was about, trades? Yeah, I mean, that's always difficult because you don't want to alienate a fan base and you don't want to send out the wrong messaging. But at the same time, if it's not the right fit for one reason or another, I do think that a player should use their leverage and request a trade. We haven't dealt with that at Roc Nation to date, but, you know, it's something that could happen for sure.
Kim, welcome back to PC. Question in your business, obviously getting clients is so critical. How do you balance your time of stewarding your current clients and spending time getting new clients? Because that's, as you said to these young people, relationships are key to everything.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. But I think because we have decided to be a small agency, it's a lot easier for me than agents at bigger agencies that get the directive, just go out and sign as many players as possible. So I'm the lead agent on 6 clients at Roc Nation. And I'm told to go out and recruit 1 or 2 in a draft class. So it makes it much more manageable, and I can spend much more time with my current clients and balance that with the recruiting than if I were somewhere else.
You talked about staying patient early on in your career while you were focused on your dream job and knowing that it wasn't going to happen overnight. Can you talk about some specific strategies or techniques you may have developed to keep yourself focused on your goal and stay patient while you work those things out?
Yeah, I mean, I just kept learning more and more about the business. Even though I didn't have high-profile clients, still going to the combine, staying out there the entire week to make connections and relationships, applying to agencies with the hopes that maybe one day I'd get an opportunity. So I guess just still putting the time in to try and learn as much as I could for when an opportunity did come up that I'd be ready.
So is it true you directly represent Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that?
That's, yes. Yeah. I'm his agent.
So what was it like the last couple of years in the Steelers organization with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown? And how much did you have to negotiate or communicate with their agents? Or is there anything in particular with a lot going on with trade demands and stuff like that, that you were around the scenes while that was happening?
I mean, it ended up being a huge opportunity for Juju because he's the polar opposite, to be quite honest. He is a really lighthearted, positive person. He's ingratiated himself in the Pittsburgh community with the team and the organization. So everyone saw him as kind of the happy alternative to what was going on, the malcontents on the team. And he rose to the occasion and became one of the team leaders. So I just really encouraged him. I always knew that that would sort of be his role, and that's why they even drafted him. So he's had tremendous success because of that, to be sort of the anti all of that.
Kim, I would imagine that being an agent is a 24/7 job. Could you talk a little bit about what that's like and how you balance that with your own personal life?
Yeah, it is 24/7, and you don't know what any given day will bring. I'll tell you guys a funny story. One of my clients, who shall remain nameless, called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm getting a monkey." And I said, "What are you talking about? No, you're not." He's like, "Actually, he's on the way." So I'm like, "Let me look into the laws in the state where you live. I'm pretty sure it's going to be illegal." And sure enough, it was. Actually, there are 2 exceptions. If you were a sanctuary or had the primate for educational purposes, and to his response to that was, "Well, let's just teach him sign language." So Every day is different. That's what makes it so fun. But I think at the end of the day, it's not really a job to me. You know, going to games and spending time with the players, it really is fun. So I think that's how I balance it. And I try and incorporate my family to come to games and spend time with my clients as well. And that's how I balance it.
Thanks again for coming back and welcome back to Providence. I'm trying to, Steve Napolillo asked me to ask a fantasy football question for this week, but I won't do that. Two-part question. One is, agents don't really enjoy the greatest reputation as being super ethical, upright, you know, it's kind of a upright citizens, as the reputation for being a really cutthroat field, and it's kind of kill or be killed, and, you know, and it's going to war with other agents, and kind of, you know, the reputation is that agents would be unscrupulous on behalf of their clients. So two-part questions. One, is that actually the case, or is that overblown and exaggerated? And two, how do you keep your sense of self, you know, so that you don't wind up becoming that person that you don't want to be in the midst of a really tough environment?
Right. I mean, I think that's been perpetuated by movies and TV shows, portraying agents as sort of a caricature of how you'd expect them to be, which is kind of sleazy. I hope that we're changing that, but to be honest, there are a lot of people in the business who are that kind of caricature. And the way I try and rise above it is I hear about the negative recruiting people do against me and my agency, and I say to clients or potential clients, why are they spending time talking about me in their meeting with you? Shouldn't they just be talking about all the great things they can do for you instead of bashing me? That should raise a red flag right there. And so I hope that those types of agents will get weeded out. But sadly, that they're still there, and it can be pretty ugly. Yeah.
So yes, start Juju this weekend.
Kim, where do you see esports in your profession and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge new industry to tap into. We actually just signed an esports client at Roc Nation. His name is escaping me, but Juju's very into gaming, and his fan base is as big as it is because he has crossover between football and esports. At his draft party, he had a whole bunch of high school kids came in, kind of like nerdy kids. Like, who are these people? All of his gaming friends. But he makes a lot of money from the gaming, so it's become a second income for him.
Well, it seems like nowadays, like, there's a lot of divide between the Owners Association and the NFLPA, and obviously players receive the best treatment in the world while they're playing. Where do you see long-term healthcare plans going in the future for players post-career, negotiating it into their contracts as well?
Yeah, I mean, the NFLPA, hopefully in this next CBA, will do a lot to look at benefits for retirees. There's a lot out there, but they could do better, especially helping them post-football career and finding the next career. Because a lot of guys just don't know what to do when they're done playing football. They're not prepared for anything else. And that's part of my job, too, to help tap into what players are interested in now so that they set themselves up for a post-playing career and don't just have to live on that football income. So hopefully we can all just do a better job at that.
So this question's more so about law school. So did you pick a law school that had a big sports network, or did that kind of just happen?
Not at all, no. And that's another thing. I mean, in retrospect, things they would have changed. Probably focusing on a law school that had a better program that could have plugged me in. I mean, everything ended up working out for me, but my path would have been a little more straightforward and not so curvy to get here.
Hi, Kim. So my question is, at Roc Nation, you only represent 6 athletes, and they're all football players, correct?
Yes, but I'm also the general counsel of the sports department, so I work on endorsement agreements for the full roster, so football, baseball, and basketball.
Okay, and so Roc Nation gives you the ability, so can you represent clients in across any sport that you choose?
Yeah, they're really flexible. If I decided I wanted to delve into basketball or even individual sports, I've thought about it, like golf or tennis, they would totally be supportive of that.
So obviously a player's brand is their most important asset. How do you, when you go into an endorsement deal, how do you sit down and think about how that endorsement best fits their brand and how it might help it in the future?
I mean, it really has to be authentic. They can't do a deal promoting a product or service they don't actually like or use because it comes off as phony. So if you're just looking at it from a monetary standpoint, it's probably not going to work. So it's really going to resonate with the athlete and be authentic to who they are as a person. And then that always is a winning formula because they end up over-delivering on the endorsement deal, and they get renewals, get paid more money in the end. So I think it always comes back to authenticity. I mean, every weekend I'm at a game, so I try and alternate it. I don't want to show favoritism, so... But Saquon being in New York, it makes it easy. So it really works out well when two clients are playing against each other. So I get 2-1. But yeah, I try and even it out. So I get to everybody equally.
Does Roc Nation partner with wealth management firms for like financial advice?
No, we actually really shy away from that. I mean, there's a huge liability component to recommending anyone from a financial standpoint. And we also think it's really important to have a checks and balance system in place for athletes. They should have a different accountant from a financial advisor, and the agent should not be involved in picking either of those two, because we should all be checking on each other. That's how you keep everyone honest and prevent the horrific situations you end up hearing about where guys go broke.
With the rise of acceptability of legal sports betting and the Raiders moving to Las Vegas next year, what is your perspective on legal sports betting from an agent's point of view?
I mean, you know, it's only fair that the players get the same opportunities that the leagues have. You know, it's moving more so in that direction, but we're not there yet. I mean, the league is incredibly strict about what players can do. For instance, one of my players had an appearance at a casino. I did not set it up, but the league found out about it, and they called me, they called the team, and they were just on the warpath, and we had to shut the whole thing down. So I'd like to see them get a little more flexible so that players can tap into that business, because it's a huge industry. Not so much on the betting side per se, but I mean, they're not allowed to do anything even remotely affiliated. So I think that they could soften the rules a little bit.
I was just wondering, I know you don't have any MLB clients, but I was just wondering what from your perspective, there seems to be a big problem in that particular sport when players hit free agency. They seem to have a really hard time getting the contracts they want. So I was wondering, like, what your opinion on, like, what the reason for that would be. Like, maybe it's because, like, Scott Boras has, like, a monopoly of a lot of the top players, or whatever other reason you think that could be.
I don't know. From my standpoint, baseball contracts are pretty good compared to NFL contracts. So we do have a baseball department. Trying to think if we had a free agent. I mean, CC Sabathia just stayed, obviously, with the Yankees his entire career. Cespedes was a free agent, and I mean, we ended up getting him a great deal. Same thing with Ravi Cano, who no one thought that we could take him out of New York and bring him anywhere else and be successful, and he got a monster deal in Seattle. So I really can't speak to that, because I don't have any personal experience on any issues with baseball contracts, besides knowing that they're monster deals and fully guaranteed, and NFL is not. So
what is, like, your recommendations for undergrads who want to pursue a career with, like, sports agents, with, like, internships and stuff like that?
Yeah, try and get any internship you possibly can to get that experience and start to make connections. And then, to the extent there are classes that relate at all, take those.
Hello. So my passion is music, and my dream is to be a musician. So hearing your doubts about being, you know, a female in the male heavy industry was just very inspiring to me, and I just wanted to say thank you for coming out and speaking.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's so nice.
Hi. So this is a field, or like a career path, I'm really extremely interested in. So I was wondering to, like, elaborate more on the steps you can take. Like, is going to law school, like, a good idea to do, especially if you want to be in this career?
So it's not a requirement. To be licensed with the NFLPA as an agent, you either need a master's degree or a law degree. And none of the other sports require it either. It's helpful. It is. I mean, because an NFL contract can end up being 25 pages, and it's always the fine print that can make a huge difference in a deal. So being an attorney definitely helps, but it's not necessary. So I wouldn't be dissuaded by that. If you don't want to go to law school, you can still be an agent.
Is there a particular reason you chose to represent NFL players in particular? Or
I think it goes back to interning with Kristen at her agency and she being an NFL agent, that it kind of just was natural for me to pursue that, having seen her doing it, getting some experience, making some contacts, that's what made most sense.
Hi, thank you for coming. Out of all the areas of study offered here at PC, what majors do you think would prepare someone to go into this industry?
You know, again, political science and English, I think, really did help me because it's a lot of reading, writing, pay attention to details, being very detail-oriented. Any opportunity to speak in front of people or just be an advocate. So any class that requires that, I think, can help tremendously. And then I know that the school is, you know, making headway and having more classes that are geared towards sports and those kinds of majors. So it, to the extent that PC will start offering those types of things, I would say definitely take those classes.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I was just gonna ask, what is it like working with Roc Nation and as compared to like other sports agencies?
Roc Nation's a really special place. It's completely different than any other agency, and I really say that truthfully. It's like a family. For instance, Jay-Z's sister is our office manager. Our COO, Desiree Perez, her husband Juan is the president of sports. So it really is a family. And they treat us like family, and they really foster a family atmosphere amongst our players and between the players and the artists. So for instance, Meek Mill and Saquon are mutual fans of each other. They're both from Pennsylvania. Anytime Meek has any kind of event, Saquon's there backstage with him. We always try and get those two together. So that's what makes us so different. I think that it's really a family atmosphere, and there's a true entrepreneurial spirit to the agency, because if you look at the founders, not just Jay-Z, but Jay Brown and Tata, they are guys who really came from nothing and built themselves up and became just so influential, not just in music, but in culture, in fashion, I mean, anything, you name it, and they're influencers. And so I really just resonate with that entrepreneurial spirit of the agency.
What's it like in a negotiation with a team? Like when you try to set the bar and a team maybe will shut that down or something, is that the hardest part of a negotiation for a player? Is there something else that's harder
I'm going through that right now. I'm working on an extension deal for a player, and we're just going to wait. That's the leverage you have. So we're not going to take a deal. The only thing worse than no deal is a bad deal. So it's better to wait it out, take your time, and get your true value.
Hi, thank you for coming. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it's like to build a relationship with the general managers on the teams of the players you represent. I imagine there's a good amount of dialogue even when you're not directly negotiating a contract. And also, when you do negotiate a contract, what types of pieces of information you use to negotiate that?
Yeah, having those relationships from the top down in organizations is really important. In terms of strategy, I mean, you have to know the comps. You have to know who are the comps and be prepared to make an argument as to why your clients should get paid more than the current contracts that are existing. So really just doing your research from a statistical standpoint and then a contract standpoint.
Hello. How similar or different is the business of the NFL and the business of the NBA and in terms of contract negotiations?
So from my understanding and talking to the NBA agents at my agency and sort of reviewing contracts for them, the top guys, I mean, they get max contracts, and there's really not a lot to negotiate. Whereas in the NFL, there's still a lot to negotiate. We don't have, quote unquote, max contracts. So it's a different animal, really. And then also negotiating the guarantees. So in the NFL, as you guys know, the contracts aren't fully guaranteed. And even to the extent that they have guarantees, every team gets an opportunity to put in default language. So a litany of ways that you can void out your guarantees. So you really have to focus on that language and try and make it as limited as possible.
So you talked about how guarantees and like not guaranteed contracts. Kirk Cousins just signed the first ever guaranteed contract about a few years ago. the first fully guaranteed contract. Do you think that eventually we're going to see NFL players being able to sign fully guaranteed contracts?
I mean, that's the hope, and Julio Jones just did that as well. So it's definitely trending in the right direction. It's about the top guys really pushing for that, right? Because if they don't get it, no one else is going to. So if you are the best player in a position, if you can really fight to get a fully guaranteed contract, it's going to trickle down to everyone else.
I was just wondering what you would say would be the biggest obstacle you'd have to overcome during your time as an agent working with players.
So, I mean, again, early on, I would say when I was working on my own, just recruiting players. It's very difficult because it's such a fiercely competitive business. There's so many agents, and most agents actually don't even represent clients. If you look at the NFLPA database, it's like the top 10% rep 90% of the players. So unless you're at an agency with resources, it's really, really difficult to be able to go out and spend the money to travel to recruit. And then when you sign players who will be rookies, you need to pay for their training going into the combine. You need to pay for their housing. So again, just a huge financial commitment. And so before I was with Roc Nation and having an agency to provide all of that, it was extremely difficult to recruit players.
Hi there. Looking upon the Roc Nation website and your portfolio of athletes, I know you don't represent this particular athlete, but I see soccer player Dakota Watterson. I think she's like 14 years old. So what are some challenges unique aspects of working with athletes this young, this early in their developmental stages? And do you plan on doing this in your own athletes going forward?
Right. So I don't rep Dakota personally. However, I did work on the contract that she had to sign with the agency. And because she's a minor, we needed to get court approval in California. The reason we wanted to do that is because she could have voided the contract and said she didn't have capacity to sign. So you go to court and get it approved so that she essentially can't back out of it. So that was a process, and that's the first time we had signed anyone who was a minor. But very excited for her. She's a tremendous young woman, athlete, great personality, and super smart. So hopefully we can continue to build out that department.
So I believe Owen is closing us out, but I just want to say thank you, Kim, for the time. Thank you for the great questions.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Providence College Podcast. You can find older episodes at all the usual places, including Spotify and the college's YouTube channel. For our producer, Chris Judge, I'm Joe Carr. Until next time.